You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, this is Lori Owens, and you're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And I don't care if you're involved in insurance or you have a fee-for-service practice, one of the things you have to know are the trends that are coming in medical billing, because it helps you either way. And it used to be that they're separate. Not so much anymore. So we're going to be talking about the six trends that are coming your way with medical billing that you have to know with our good friend Lori Owens. And I'm just telling you, she's brilliant on these things and she's way ahead of everybody else. So grab a pen and hit the share button. Settle in. You're going to love this. Now, a couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook like we always do. So if you have questions while I have Lori on the broadcast, ask the questions, put them in the feed, and I'll ask her while we have her on the broadcast. Or if you're watching them later on, continue to add questions, because Lori, she's fantastic at social media and she'll get back to you. Also, love, love, love the suggestions for shows and all that stuff. We've got some great guests. Even tomorrow, I have an amazing guest lined up. You don't want to miss this. And we're doing our best to put all this together in the midst of lecture season. And so thank you so much. Over 39,000 followers, 150,000 of you have visited us on iTunes, and again, all I can say is thank you. So our guest today, Lori Owens. Now, I love Lori. Lori's been a regular, she's like a resident regular expert on one of the most difficult components. Now, Lori, I know who you are. There are many people that know who you are that watch the show. Many people within the Seattle Study Club know who you are. We have clients that know who you are. If somebody's watching this for the first time, tell them who Lori Owens is.
I am a medical biller. I was at Dr. Cohen and Gottlieb's practice for 15 years. I now am the director of medical billing education for Imagine Solutions, and I am still a medical biller for two other offices right now. So I want to stay active in what I'm teaching in order to be able to be relevant in what works. So I've been doing that. I am a certified professional biller and coder, and love dentistry.
Yeah, and it shows. Now, I always want to talk about the why before the how, because we're going to go into these six changes that are coming. But let's talk about the why, because dentists have said forever, you know, they push the insurance thing away and they go, yes, well, medical insurance isn't like dental insurance, but that isn't so true anymore, or it's becoming less true. Or I'll let you explain.
So it's take better. It's better. It's okay. So much better. When ICD-10 diagnosis came in, everybody was freaking out, including me, because I knew all the other ones by heart. But then I realized it's so specific. It talks about the maxilla, the mandible. It gives location for us in dentistry so that we don't have to write the narratives. We don't have to do all of all of this, these letters of necessity, like we even do in dentistry. Right now, I know that for crown lengthening for dental insurance, I'd have to write a long narrative, perio charting, oral photos, in which do they pay for oral photos? No, they don't. Do they pay for the x-rays? No, they don't. But yet it's still required in order for me to get paid for a surgical procedure. Whereas medical just wants to know the specifics. What did you do and why did you do it?
Right.
That's it.
And I'll go a layer deeper because I say this every time that you're on, but there are many dentists out there that are using this knowledge that is open to everybody to get full reimbursement for their full fees and truly help patients that otherwise couldn't get this comprehensive care without any dental insurance involved because they tell the story through the codes and they know how to communicate in the system, correct? Mm-hmm.
Right. And that, and you don't, I don't send x-rays. I don't send chart notes. I just tell them the story. The rest is up to the insurance. That's what they're looking for. They're just looking for you to tell your story. As long as you have a why, then you have a reason.
Yeah.
That it comes down to that, but it's made it easier for us in dentistry to get paid for what we're doing. In other words, our CBCTs, we weren't charging them because we didn't want the patient to have the brunt of the payment when it's all medical. There's a reason why dentistry doesn't cover them because they're medical procedures.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go ahead and dive into it because there are six big trends that are coming up that you have to know what, regardless of wherever you are in dentistry,
absolutely.
You have to know these trends. So take us through them.
So the first one is consideration. We need to realize that at the last survey that was done, 80% of our patients want to pay online. So the reason I brought that up was if we were able to make sure our patients had access to make payments online, how much more free would you be able to do medical billing? Your staff no longer has to answer all these phone calls of just people wanting to make a payment when 80% of our patients want to do it online. So I said, know your demographic. If you have a predominantly 70 plus clientele, those people are probably not going to want to do it online. Whereas anybody else, they're going to want 80% of your patients are asking for it. So look at the options that you can have a button placed on your website so that people can pay. Take the time to do it online so that your staff has more time to actually look at what you're dealing with your patients. It will free up your time.
Absolutely. And I think what you're saying is like, don't have 80% of your patients pay. It's just that 80% of the people, they want some easy way to pay.
Yes.
And you think about it, like I'm thinking about this all the time. When I fly to a city, and even the cab driver doesn't take credit cards. I'm like, buddy, get with it. Like you get a VRBO, you get anything. Mm-hmm. The ease of payment has to be part of your business, whether you like it or not. Patients have to be able to click a button and pay.
Right. And how much of your AR are you missing because those people don't want to take the time throughout their workday to make their payment?
They like the envelopes that you send to their office and then they open them up and they set them aside. They put them right on top of their, no, they don't.
No.
So absolutely.
Yeah. So the consideration is we need to consider how our patients want to transact with us, not to miss the AR, to build more time in our staffing so that we get to do medical billing. So that's what I hear a lot of times is I don't have the time. Well, learning these new ways, having a coach, my word, I cannot imagine people not having a coach. Even us trainers have a coach to train us.
I have a coach. I would go crazy without a coach.
Yes.
My team would kill me without a coach.
So I'm going to tell you all, I love ACT Dental. If you don't have a coach, call ACT Dental and get a coach. Yes, I love all of those coaches. So I can tell you, I personally know and love all of the coaches at ACT Dental.
Well, I'm not
even faking it.
I know. We appreciate
that. I really do think that you have to have a coach and your coach will guide you to these things. And they're not trying to make it harder for you as a practice. They're actually trying to free up the things that they know you want to do and what your vision is.
Well, and so, I would say the same thing for you. Like, you could sit there and try to figure out this medical billing thing, or you just get Lori to your office and she could save probably 5 years of your life in one afternoon and just get everybody to see different, because you're going to be stuck by your own learning and limitations.
Yes.
You know, it's, there are times, like, I don't have an ego. I'm just like, hey, look, if I need help, raise your hand, get some help. Now, yeah, before we go on to the next one, number two, any last thoughts on consideration before we move on?
No, I just want to make sure people know that this is not my survey. This is a public survey that 80% of your patients want to pay online. Medical has had incorporated that a long time ago, and dental, we need to get up to speed so that we can realize that if we're missing AR, everybody always complains about their AR. Could it be because you're not giving them the access to pay their bill, that's what's causing it? So let's get up to speed, get a button, get something on your website so that you can get those payments and give more time so that you can concentrate on your patient's health.
Absolutely. And the AR is never good for any. Well, I don't know who said this. I heard a speaker say this one time that people that owe you money, they don't like you. So don't. I can't remember who said it, but it's pretty good. I thought that's.
Well, but think about this. If they had a way to do it online that they didn't have to talk to you.
Yeah.
They'd probably pay you a lot faster.
They probably would. They probably would.
Yeah.
Now, number two is automation. So take us through
the automation. So that's talking about your electronic claims. 92% by 2020 will be done through dental insurance. 92% of your insurance companies will be only accepting an electronic claim. So that's the automation. In medical, 99% by 2020 will only accept an electronic claim. That goes back to, I had one office that was handwriting her claims.
Yeah.
Now I can't do that.
I'm actually shocked by the number of people, because we honestly don't see it a lot. Like the practices we coach, a lot of them have already, but are there a lot of dentists that have not jumped on this? I mean, is it an alarming statistic or not?
It alarms me. I would say 50% are wanting to do it claim by claim by claim in the mail.
Oh.
And this is dental insurance.
Yeah.
So you can imagine bringing medical into the light is a horrific thought. But you have to realize that there are going to be companies that are going to ban you from even sending your claims.
Right.
So be knowledgeable about the automation that's out there and access for your office. That's even going to be for any kind of appeals that you do. It's all going to be done electronically.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to realize the automation is there, jump on board and not be afraid of it.
Absolutely. It eliminates so much waste when you can automate something and you don't have the labor cost that goes associated with it.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And not to mention freeing up your staff time. And how much do you pay for postage? I mean, come on, it's not getting cheaper.
Right.
So you might as well utilize what you have.
You know, I was fascinated by your first statistic, which that many people haven't gone with, you know, automation and electronic claims. But I'm not fascinated by the number of pieces of mail that get lost in the Postal Service per year.
Absolutely.
You know, that's ridiculous.
Right.
So you're adding that level of complexity if you're still doing it by hand. So now number three, you had mentioned electronic health records, the EHR system. Give us some perspective on that.
So every office has their paper charts. I remember taking our practice from paper to paperless or chartless. But there are still offices that have charts. And it's frightening to think that you have all of this access. And here, what it goes back to is HIPAA. If somebody breaks into your office and steals a computer, what are the chances that they're going to be able to get the password to get all the patient information? It's going to be limited.
Right.
Because everything's on a server that connects into the computer. So they're not going to be able to get it.
Right.
But if they break into your office and steal all your charts, they're going to have everything they need to take people's identities.
Right.
So what the ruling is January 1st of 2020, if you cannot prove electronic health records, your office will be fined.
Wow.
So you have 1 year to get things together. So if you have a charted office, you better get those charts out of there, scan them, put them in digital format, something you have. Right. And again, I go back to the coaches, go to a coach, find a coach. They will help walk you through it. So it's not so frightening.
Yeah.
It's important that you know that electronic health records are vital to where we're going in healthcare.
Absolutely. And, you know, everyone complains when they get started on the journey, but once they get through it, it's like, I can't even believe I waited this long. And then on top of it, not just theft, but anything happens to your office. We had a bunch of offices in Houston that lost. I mean, their offices got destroyed, and thank God they're all electronic. I couldn't even fathom if you were a dentist and you still had paper charts, because you lose the value and equity of your practice in some cases. I mean, you're struggling to find any information on these people. So legally you have to do it, but now we've got, now we know that.
Now you have a time crunch to get it done. Absolutely. So, and I wanted to make sure people knew this is a federal law. Right. So states can't overturn this law.
Right.
They have to enforce it. So there will be a lot of regulations, and you know how much our states like to fine people.
Oh, they love it. They need money.
They do. They do.
Absolutely.
It's true.
Yeah. Now, number five is one of the things that we're all excited about and also cautious. Would you say artificial intelligence, AI? Yes. How does this play a role in it?
So how it plays a role, it's going to play a role in dental as well as medical. It's being able to validate what you're saying and doing through artificial intelligence, whether it be validating a code or going through a reason or causality of it. I'm really bad on airplanes. I watched YouTube videos of surgeries. And so that, to me, I want to know what they're doing so that I know how it applies to the billing side. But when it comes to us coding, they're going to want us to be able to look at the resources available to make sure the code is applicable to the procedure.
Yeah. How good is the AI, would you say it is? Is it getting better?
It's so much better. Okay. Now there's paid versions and there's free versions. So I don't discount the free versions because I like them.
I
still utilize them, even though I have the AAPC coder that gives me a lot of detail. But don't mark those off, because any use of AI is what they're looking for. They're looking for code validation and that you know what is involved in that procedure and you know what procedure you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So good stuff. And then you mentioned number six.
Well, number five.
Or I'm sorry, number five. I got See, this stuff is—it's even heavy for me, because talk about third-party billing, which is always a challenge in every respect.
It is. Walk us through. I'm going to tell you what I know that has come down. That's scary. Okay. It is so scary when I have a third-party biller trying to talk to my clients, and they're telling them they have to pay $7,500 to get into this billing company. They'll guarantee them a lot of money. And you will never see the EOB because they get paid, because they're not utilizing the law when it comes to who did the procedure, where was the procedure done. They're filing it under a different doctor who's contracted with that insurance, and all you're seeing, you don't even know how much they're billing for you. Wow. All you know is you get a check.
Okay.
So, but all I'm saying is, please be careful. I had one of my students showed me a contract from a company that was going to take 22% of what they collected. I did not think she was telling me the truth. I thought maybe she read it wrong. I had never heard of somebody taking 22% of what they collected. And then she pulled up the contract and showed it to me. So why do you have to pay that much money for them to bill for you?
Yeah. And well, two things. Number one, 22% is a lot of anything. Okay.
Yes.
Secondly, you're putting the communication in the hands of somebody else on the things that you hold dearest, which are your patients. So you can't control how somebody else is going to communicate with them, which
is And that, and to us, that's, our goal at Imagine is to make sure the control is in your office's hands. We only do the follow-up. You have the control. You pick the codes. They're your patients and you know them best. And we don't want to take that away from an office. And we want you to see what's happened with every one of your patients. They're not our patients. We don't get the money. We don't get the EOBs. They all go to you. That's the way it's supposed to be.
It should be that way. So
I just want people to be very careful when you have when you decide to use a third party biller, even for medical billing, please make sure that they're not taking the control out of your hands, because that's going to put your doctor's license in a liability.
I don't think there's ever been anything created that was good that had the word third party on it. Third party out of state checks, like third party anything, you should know that's just bad. So
right, just run. In fact, one of the girls that was at the table with me in North Carolina, she literally told this lady, don't walk, run. Wow. Run away from this third party biller, because it took them for about $20,000.
Yeah. Now, all of these, for the most part, if somebody's been involved with this, this is pretty common sense up to the last one, which is fascinating.
That's true.
Lastly, we're going to be talking about the dental claim form. Now, you mentioned this, and this blows my mind. There are 42 particular codes that are medical.
42 boxes on the dental claim form are medical related.
Now, slow down. So explain that. I need you to explain
that. So in other words, up here, it's asking you, is this dental or medical?
Mm-hmm.
It's asking you, is this a medical condition?
Right.
Over here, it's telling you to point them to these diagnosis codes to what applies.
Yep.
Most people just don't, they've never printed the form, so they don't even know what it looks like. And it's asking you all the things that we would have to fill out in a dental claim form.
Right.
So I ask people, really, there's nothing here that you have to fill out on a medical claim form that's different.
Yeah. Now, let me be devil's advocate here, because there might be some dentists watching this going, okay, Kirk, I hear what you're saying, but this is an insurance form. I don't care if it's medical or dental. There are so many fee-for-service dentists out there that don't take a dime of insurance, that are fully being reimbursed, especially specialists that are placing implants on huge cases and getting reimbursement on behalf of the patient for their full fee because they know how to navigate this form.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is this is not about signing up for more lousy insurances and getting them in your office and clogging your office down. This is about empowering an expert in your office that knows how to navigate codes so that you can remove obstacles for patients who might not have the financial means to pay $35,000 for a full mouth rehabilitation, but they could certainly submit it to medical insurance or medical billing. And if you could tell a story for the codes and know your way through it, there's a huge chance they can be reimbursed because the law states they have to pay for that, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing, I have a lot of fee-for-service offices. There's nothing saying because you're a fee-for-service office that you can't bill medical.
Right.
I tell, just don't accept assignment and then you're out of it.
Right.
You bill it and you're out of it. But now all the patients, I tell the patients and the check comes to you. Make sure to open those EOBs because you might have a check in there and I wouldn't want you to miss that.
Yeah.
Just
the first thought of them opening EOBs, nobody does it anyway, and they should, because you're going to be able to see everything on there, especially with shared agreements and everything. You got to be opening those up to know what's going on more than anything.
But even that's what I tell fee-for-service. I have a lot of fee-for-service offices, and they do very well with medical billing. Yeah. They are amazing billers. They really are helping their patients get healthy faster, taking themselves out of the way of all of the follow-up because it's all on the patient now.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let that run why you're not doing a medical billing, because it really can be done in a great manner. And you're still not writing off. You're still not making any adjustments, but your patient is receiving a benefit that loyalty that will come from that patient will be spread to other patients. And they'll tell other people about what you did. You might not have anything to do with actual collection of the payment, but they will know what you did on their behalf.
Which is amazing. Now, tell us more that we might not know about the dental claim.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to tell you, most of us have seen the ads for Medicare that are purchasing the Delta Dental policies. which is great. I think anything that they get a benefit from is going to be helpful. They don't pay a lot on the Medicare side anyway for dentistry. So I'm absolutely all for that, except for this one issue. They're not telling you that you have to give them a diagnosis code. And I'm afraid in January, when this all takes effect, that our dental offices are submitting their claim forms like usual without a diagnosis code. And that's going to be fine for a couple of months until Medicare says, no, our agreement was they give a diagnosis code. So some people have found in Costco's right now, you have to give a diagnosis code to order a prescription. It was just brought up on our Facebook forum that somebody else said, I was asked for a diagnosis code to issue a prescription. And it's already happening in Washington for Costco. You have to give a diagnosis code to call the prescription in. Mm-hmm. My fear is that if our dental offices aren't prepared, they're going to have all these great new policies from Medicare. They're going to submit them all, and then they're going to get rejected because they didn't issue a diagnosis code. The right. problem is that Medicare is not going to tell you that.
Right. That's so they're going to leave out some of the key information that helps you do the best work for your patients right. here, because they're not going to be so quick. The other right. thing too, and I mention this every time that you're on, is you can't just sit back and go, even if you have the codes and you're instructed by somebody as brilliant as you right. to write the narrative with the codes, it's not like you're going to uh-huh. submit these things and then checks come flying back to your office.
Right. right.
You've got to learn to be persistent.
Yes.
You've got to learn to consistently follow up with
exactly.
these.
Exactly. Consistency is huge. And once you start to do that, so I bill for an office in North Carolina, and I've been doing it for about 3 months now. Well, the first 2 months were a struggle because mm-hmm. I don't know their policies as well as I do Washington, but you know what? Now the money is starting to come in at a great rate. And so they're actually happy with me now, which I can't blame them, but getting started with new insurances, you're going to have a little struggle. I'd say the first 60 days is going to be your hardest. After that, things are going to go flying through and you're going to say, wow, I wish I would have done this sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is so great. And we're already getting comments. What's the name and contact information for Lori? Lori, any other thoughts that you have on the changes that are ahead for us in the
I just really, especially that claim form, at least learn some diagnosis codes so that once you're billing for your Medicare people, that you're not going to get your claims thrown out, because that can be substantial, especially even if 20% of the Medicare people purchased a policy. That could be 10% of your clientele. And that means 10% of your claims are going to get sent back without payment. So be careful. I just want to make sure that our payments are coming in, because that's what keeps us in business. So make sure to watch for that. And if you get a claim denied, make sure to ask them, do I need a diagnosis code? Because it'll be important. If you need help, I'll be glad to help you. I can give you a list of some codes that you do that would help you to be able to pick something of the procedures that you complete.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say two things. Number one, don't even hesitate. Just have Lori help you with all these. Number two, if you're not willing to do that, Lori's been so gracious to offer some very simple downloads. We don't have this one up yet, but we'll post this one up that'll walk you through all this.
Right.
And also your updated codes. I told you, I love that thing. I love it. Love it. Love it. Because it shows you exactly how to do it. And I love how you've organized that. So this woman has some amazing tools. Now, Lori, for the benefit of people listening on iTunes who might not be able to see this, can you tell us how to get you or how to reach out to you?
You can email me at Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, at Imagine, I-M-A-G-N, solutions.com. And our website is imaginesolutions.com. We just did a webinar with Dana Johnson this morning, and there'll be a link on our website. So if somebody wants to go back and listen to that, it just talks about medical billing and what you can do, how you can bill, and it even has some codes on there that could help you.
Yeah, highly encourage you. I'm going to watch it because it's great stuff. So Lori, thank you so much for always being on and offering.
Oh, thank you.
Some incredible wisdom. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching. Hope you enjoyed today, which I know you did. Do us a favor. Just hit the share button. Share it with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for shows that you want to see from Lori and other guests. We'll line them up as best we can. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be right back.